warning. This podcast contains some f***ing bad language.
Just like when Marilyn Brown got busted with Mistress Bevan in the Nati Fatua room.
Very, very clever, smart and agile. I've got to be.
True stories. Your stories. Your fuck-ups. Jim Cawthorne presents The Fuck-Up Files.
Life is not without regret.
Lynn Brown, eh? Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on the time you are listening into this podcast right now. Welcome to The Fuck-Up Files, a podcast that showcases basically how much, well, how big a piece of shit that we can really be. Because we make mistakes. I mean, how dare we? How dare we be human, eh? And because I have a fair back catalogue of them, I'm here to make you feel a hell of a lot better about your own screw-ups. Jim Cawthorne is my name, your regarded fuck-up. You might know me from the rock radio station, and as always, also from the rock radio station. On the other side of the desk there, pushing the buttons, is producer Ryan.
Yes. G'day, Jimbo. Hello. And thanks to Rover as well for holding this podcast. You can get this podcast first on Rover. And if you want to be on it, we're going to have a caller on a bit later on who's had a blowout as well. Just text the word Jim to 3520 and what your blowout is. Just a quick little bit. That'd be good.
Well done. That was a good spiel read there, producer Ryan. Thanks. I also hope that you listening in right now loves The Rock a hell of a lot because our guest today, well, who would have thought, also from The Rock, drive host Duncan High. G'day, Dunk.
Hey, guys. It's an absolute pleasure to be in the same studio I am in 5 days a week.
Yeah, what a treat. Right. And this is how special is this, eh? Do you know what this basically says?
You haven't done much research into guests, and you're now run out of guests.
It says a lot of people have said no when the name of the podcast is The Fuck Up Files.
Yeah.
Anyone with any reputation's like, I'm busy.
You know who you won't be getting on this? Mike McRoberts.
That's true. You did right. We are here to tell about our fuck ups right now, as we always do. I'm going to start with my yarn. This story actually takes place at a wedding.
You know when you go to a wedding, just before you start, because I know what you like at weddings.
Yeah.
When you go to a wedding, you go, shit, the flight's cost me like $400. I spent $100 on a present. I'm down $500. Now I've got my work cut out for me because I want to be in the black by the time I leave here. So you sit down, you're like, I'm going to order the most expensive thing possible on the menu, and then I'm going to drink like an absolute fucking weapon and try and get through it. That's what I always do. And Jim's always like an MVP. Like, if you're inviting Jim, you probably, he's the type of guy that walks away in the black from a wedding.
Well, the thing is, I don't like to eat too much because I just fall asleep.
You're like an old person.
So I don't, to be honest, if I'm coming to your wedding, you're going to save on food because I'm not going to eat too much.
Yeah.
I'll drink your piss.
You drink till the cows come home.
Yeah, I'll do that. Right, this is, and I was the MC for the wedding. Now, Dunk, you'll be in the same position. Working in radio, you'll get asked all the time to be an MC, yeah?
Yeah, they'll be like, hey, you've talked for all week, and you'll feel like talking some more on the weekend? No.
Yeah, how many times have you MC'd a wedding?
Do you know what? I've only done like four.
Okay, that makes me feel alright. I've only done three. One was my sister's. One was another friend who's within the boys group, the boys from down south. There's about 10, 11 of us. And the first one was this wedding here. And I feel like I probably would have had a chance to MC plenty more weddings had it not be the fuck up that I've done at this particular wedding here. The first wedding, might I add, he was the second one out of the lads to get married. I didn't go to the first wedding. Out of the lads, I made that one. So this was my first wedding to go to within the lads, and I was the MC for it. And I feel like because of what happened here, I haven't been asked to MC another wedding. This is the first problem. The crowd was quite tame. You know what I mean?
Oh, do you know what the problem is? Is when they stick too many old people and relatives up the front, and they stick the young people down the back. Well, and you're not there to chat to the old people.
No, but that's the problem because it was outnumbered by the elderly, like Auntie Bev, right? Who looks like someone shat in her handbag, just like foul look about it. And because when basically the reaction isn't as amazing as it would, it becomes like a ripple effect within the rest of the audience.
Oh, you've done a little bit of comedy, and when you start dying. There's probably no lonelier place to be.
Exactly. But you know, because I've done the same jokes with other people, and then it's just like, if no one's really laughing as hard, then it's just not going to be as funny, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those situations. And I won't lie, I did find the speech for this.
Well, this is good.
This is my opening line, all right? This came in quite hot, okay? And I thought this was quite funny. Okay. Good evening. My name is Jim Cawthorne, and I am a sex addict.
Good start, yeah.
And then I go, oh, hang on, that's the wrong speech, sorry. And then I go to Daniela. She's got another speech.
Your partner.
My wife, yeah. And then I carry on from there. And that got a bit of a laugh.
Not far from the truth, he's knocked out two kids in 14 months.
See, there's a bit of honesty there. No, but then I went a little bit too far by saying this. Sorry, I got my speech mixed up. I've got a speech to do at the local primary school next week, so that's why I called. Oh. And that's when I realised, oh, okay, this crowd is a lot more tamer than I thought.
Then you're scrambling. You're like, oh, God, I'm not good thinking on my feet, trying to, like, look on the fly through all the jokes that you then can't say.
I did think, though, I think I did sort of save it throughout the rest of the, yeah, afterwards, after that. Like, here's another joke I said, and I thought this was all right. Have we got any smokers here? Anybody? You a smoker? And you just go through, how much do you smoke a day? Oh, no, probably about, I don't know, 5-6 cigarettes a day. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? Yeah, you, oh, probably about 8-9.
What's this got to do with weird?
No, no, just wait. Terrible. There's nothing. I go through 2 lighters, mate.
That's what you said.
That's the joke. And that brought back another bit of laughter, you know?
You use this like a platform to build your own brand.
You were just up there to do it, like, yeah. Test out your comedy
gear, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, still.
What did you say about the bride and groom?
Well, I'll get to that, all right? I'll get to that.
Look, we won't chat much about them. Yeah. They're boring. Yeah. On the entertainment here, guys.
We've heard enough about them. We can all agree.
They've paid me $300
Yeah, you realize
a 24-pack.
This is the start of the night before they've rocked up, so I'm just doing the housekeeping.
Oh,
at this
yes,
point.
I see.
Okay. I did feel, because, I mean, there were some more good jokes. Like the best man came up. Oh, this is an oldie, but a good. And you listening in right now, you can use these jokes if you like. And again, the reaction from this was piss poor. I thought he deserved a more of a laugh. He said, it's been an emotional day. Even the cake's in tears. Get it? Because, you know, the cakes.
Oh, sorry, guys. I just caught up.
That's not bad. No, that's not bad.
I thought it was good.
Smirk. I wouldn't laugh out loud.
I would have laughed out loud once I got there. You know me. I laugh at fucking everything.
Yeah, I laughed my ass over there, and then people frowned at me, for Christ's sake. Auntie Bev back looking at me again.
Dare I say it's a hate-filled wedding? Because usually weddings, people want to laugh. They want to be happy. So for them to give you nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they like the couple.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was more the adults outweighed the youngins. You know what I mean? And I just, both sides are a bit stern. My finale. Now, this is where shit hit the fan, was my finale, all right? This was something that I was very keen to do. When I wrote this, I was like, I really want to do this. At the time, I was like, I don't know if the crowd's right to do this.
Yeah.
I told Daniela what I was going to do, and she was off it right from the start. She was like, it'll be stupid, don't do it. And so I was sort of humming and hawing.
She's definitely the voice of reason in your life. I feel like you should listen to her more.
Yeah, she is, but I didn't know this time. In fact, I spoke to one of my friends as well, who he actually turned around and said, do it. It'll be fucking funny.
What's his name and what does he do for a job?
The devil on his shoulder is who he's having a yarn with.
His name's Horse. We call him Horse.
Of course it is.
And then I spoke to the groom's brother and sister, and they said, do it. They're a bit rough, these guys. They said, go for it. It'll be funny. They're a bit plastered. And I was a little bit, had a few, and Dutch courage. Anyway, I got up and I was about to wrap it up. And I could have wrapped it up by saying, you know, that's been a fantastic night, you know, as you do.
And you should have.
I should have.
But you didn't.
But I didn't.
You just wanted to try one last piece of gear out in the audience.
Did. And before this is in front of me, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I've got the family table. There's Nana, Papa, Granddad's in a chair. And then there's her side of the table. And this is like an immaculate family, you know what I mean? Quite wealthy, I think. They've got, you know, a lot of siblings.
Why don't wealthy pricks laugh more?
I don't know.
And there's so much to be happy about as well.
Yeah, I thought money makes you happy, doesn't it?
No, money doesn't bring happiness.
Why are we getting that wrong?
The other thing, do you know who else was sitting at the table? Father Hook, who was the priest. So this was my finale. And it was 10 things that you should not say on your wedding night. I know you got a drum roll there for me, Ryan, haven't you?
Do you want me to drum roll number 10? Or are you just going to go straight to number 1?
Well, I was going to count down. I'm going to go from 1 to 10, okay? You ready? Top 10 things. Start. Number 1. It actually comes in quite. It's a nice start. Can you please pass me the remote, dear? That's not bad. It's coming all right.
Yeah,
nice. That's all right.
Yeah.
Number 2. What are you going to cook me for breakfast tomorrow?
Yeah. Ooh. Bit misogynist, but I mean, mid-2000s? Sweet.
Well, 2012.
Yeah, fine.
No, probably 2014, actually.
Play on.
Getting on. Okay.
It's number a strong 3. Lad to rip that one out.
Yeah. It was a... Number 3. I want a baby. No reaction, that's right. Okay.
Fine, I reckon.
I'm just trying to think what the reaction was. This is where it starts to go a little bit over the cliff. Number 4. I thought you had the keys for the handcuffs.
Nice.
That's
nice.
Good.
Saucy.
Yeah, saucy. People going, ha, he's edgy.
Yeah.
Nana's probably going,
They knew you were edgy after the pedophile gear at the start.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But by then, that had been forgotten about. Number 5. This is where it starts going even further downhill. What tampon? God.
Oh, no. I've actually got a horrific story that I could probably tell on this and not on the radio about a tampon at a wedding, but we'll get to that later.
There we go. You've got something in common. Here we go. Number six. I kind of feel like number six should have been before number five, but I'll say it anyway. Number six. Don't worry, I'm out of practice too.
Yeah,
Nana's getting upset by now. Here we go, number seven. This is when it really started pissing people off. Number seven. Oh, Teresa, which is the bride's mother's name. As I like, you know, imagine if you were to scream that out during the...
Oh, a bit more. Say it like you were in the bed.
Oh, Teresa.
That's a horrible insight.
Make some sex noises before you say it. Make some more sex noises. I want to imagine. Now go back to the last one.
It was a soundscape.
Yeah. No, hang on. Okay,
I want 10 seconds of sex noises, and then you need to say, oh, Teresa.
Well, number eight's very similar. Okay, you ready?
Yeah. I'm closing my eyes.
Oh, Daryl. Which is the bride's father's name.
Oh, yuck.
By now. This is all true. By now. Wixie. Oh, jeez, I just said his name. Oh, fuck it. Wixie.
One of the great horses. What did Winks do?
Wixie, the groom. The groom turned around and said, yeah, I think you could probably cut it by right now, Jim. And I said, oh, I've just got two more to do. I'll nearly finish up. And by then I could hear people in the crowd going, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, Nana's getting, it was Auntie Bev we were talking about before. Yeah. I saw her just look at her husband. She's going, mouthing off something horrendous. Here we go. Number nine. I hope that flatulence was from behind you and not in between us. Oh, I wrote all this myself. This was just, and then by then I was like, oh, for God's sake. Number 10, do your drum roll. This is honestly... By then I already knew I was fucked and I was like, I'm just going to come home strong, who cares? Have you cummed already?
Oh, mate.
Cummed?
Yeah, cummed. Didn't even say it properly.
God.
And then it was an awkward pause. And then I said, well, that's me. Enjoy your evening, ladies and gentlemen.
I've been Jim Cawthorn. You can book me up for any weddings.
We're going to cut the cake soon. And then hit the D floor. Good night. And I walked back to the table. And it was as silent as this is right now. There might have been a few like, God. And I sat down. And then Daniela just did not talk to me for the rest of the night.
I told you. I told you, Jim.
And yeah, since then, I haven't really been asked to MC weddings
just
again.
Just two more after that. They're like, we'll give them a second chance.
Yeah, well, see, but their first one after that within the boys' group, he didn't go to this wedding, you see. And he did get warned. I don't know if you should have Jim, but I was good at that wedding. I'll put that.
Should I tell the tampon story?
Yeah.
So I went to a wedding a couple of years back, and it was a husband and wife duo do MC.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, interesting. Should be able to bounce off each other quite well, you know, because they know each other quite well. They've known the couple getting married for like 10, 15 years sort of thing. And she's like, hey, just got a bit of a warm-up for you. And she's like, full-on, like, real Kiwi chick like that. And she's like, so, anyway, I've known, I'm going to call him Sam. He's known Sam for ages, and, like, one time we were in town, and we're, like, so hammered, went to about, like, seven pubs. Hey, honey, we're, like, seven, maybe eight. We've been in the Viaduct, and we're so twisted. And we'll walk up the top of Queen Street, and I look on the ground, I'm like, oh, my God, what's that? And then... She's like, so I picked it up and threw it at Sam, and it just hit him in the face, and it was a used tampon.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
She's like, it was a used tampon. It was so classic. And then we're like, oh, we better get a taxi home. You got shit on your face.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like full grim. This is what she opened up with. Like, there's no warm up. Like, the same sort of scenario as what Jim was doing. Just like went in for the. And here's the kicker. Here's what they did. They're like, we're going to be clever. And she goes, Sandy over there, if you just stand up and you just check under your seat. And they've got a tampon and dropped the thing in water and rubbed tomato sauce on them. So right at the start of the wedding. I'm not even joking. And then there's this poor chick turned around and holds it up just like with a grimace look in her face while she wants to vomit. And she was like, anyway, so that's what we're all about. We're going to have a bit of a laugh tonight.
So that preset this joke like, this will be brilliant. Yeah. This is what we're going to do. So we'll treat it like Oprah. We'll put shit under their seats.
Yeah, yeah.
A used tampon.
So while we were out there, they were getting married, and someone had snuck back and stuck that thing and been hanging there for like 2 hours, being like, that's going to be so classic. It's such a good opener.
I don't understand how there's not more sane people around. Surely you run that idea past someone and they go, Nah, Cheryl, maybe don't do that. Yeah. Maybe don't do the tampon gag at this one.
Yeah, but see, but you say that. I had people telling me not to do shit and at this particular wedding.
I still did it anyway.
Yeah.
That was horrific. I was like, man, I work at The Rock and we have some pretty gnarly chats at times. And I haven't been able to tell that one on air. I've been dying to tell
somebody. And was that to start the wedding as well? Like similar to Jim's?
They went away and got photos. They were introducing themselves in front of a full packed house sit down like wedding.
Oh, well, we'll take a break with that anyway.
Sorry, guys, it's probably the grimmest thing that's been on this podcast.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't do it, though, so stuff it.
Great thing about this podcast, the Dunk, I tell everybody that joins their show that this is an interactive podcast, the very first one ever done in this universe, where you, the listener, can be part of it by texting in. Ryan, do the spiel.
Text the word gym to 3520.
How do you not remember that?
Oh, I just let him do his thing.
God, he stuffed it up a lot.
Yeah, I did actually.
It's your own name and it's the same number that you've used, the Rock's used forever.
Yeah, exactly.
I told you I'm the regarded fuck up of the Rock radio station. I'm going to fuck it up.
It's all you got to do. Text in a little bit about your story and then we'll call you back and we'll hopefully get you on the podcast. And that is exactly what Alex has done.
Hey, Alex, you little fuck up. Hey. Let's start from the very beginning. Alex, what happened?
All right, so it was probably about 6 months ago now. It was the end of year rugby prize giving and piss up. And we caught a little bus out of Auckland to a restaurant and had a big piss up. And I got absolutely blind drunk at the dinner. And then and then I got an award for best off the field player.
Well done. Well done.
Hang on. Proud achievement.
For best what, sorry?
Yeah. Best off the field player.
Oh, off the. That's worse than most improved, isn't it? You get most improved, that goes to the shit kid, doesn't it? So they keep coming back to the club.
So it's like, I won that like 5 times growing up.
I got that.
It's like going to a beauty contest and winning Mr. Personality.
It is. All right, so you're the best off-field player.
Yeah, yeah. And then the dinner finished and we caught the bus, the party bus back to Auckland to Viaduct. And on the way back, the last thing I remember doing was getting absolutely naked and hanging the medal off my little fella and walking around asking every other player and their wife where their medal was.
What sort of medal was it? The classic red, white and blue ribbon?
Red, white and blue. Yeah. Gold medallion, just my name in the back and a pretty basic
thing. So like an actual, do you know what I'm thinking, like a
the
trophy?
The phallic wall hanging.
Yes, yeah, so then got to the Viaduct and I think the boys jabbed me in a few clubs and stuck me into a few places in Nevada, I don't remember. And at some point, some poor girl met me, unfortunately, and I ended up going back to her place. And I woke up in the morning and had no idea where I was. And then she was complaining and yelling at me about all this broken glass in the flat, which I had no idea what she was talking about. And then she tells me that last night I got back to her place and she couldn't find her key, so I just punched the window next to the front door, and it was about 2 metres by 2 metres.
And that's what a best off the field player does, you know?
Exactly.
He comes into trouble and smashes right his way through it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm out of here, mate. So I was going to get my clothes on, but my suit jacket's missing, my wallet's gone, I got about one button on my shirt left, I got classic, one shoe man. On, just, and then I just, she's all angry at me, but I just legged it before she could say too much, and then charged my phone, get an Uber. I get home and I've forgotten all this mess. It was my dad's 60th this day at my family house where I stay. And about 30 uncles, aunties, and cousins I haven't seen for about 5 years. I look like an absolute mess. I was like, oh, disaster.
Did you have your pants?
I had my pants on. Like, I had my pants on. Yeah, I kept there.
And what about, Alex, what about, like, injured your hand at all or no?
No, I hadn't injured my hand. That's what I couldn't believe is that parent punched the window. My arm had no cuts in it. I was the luckiest man in the world.
You probably smashed it with a medal.
Like a dummy knock, right?
Did a full loop of it off my penis and smashed the window.
Charging, ready to go.
So what happened to the 60th then?
Yeah, so then it went from bad to worse for me because there's always all cousins there who. And I guess they look up to me for some weird reason because I'm the older cousin, but they wanted to play rugby and ball rush. So I was like, all right. So we're out of the backyard and we're all hanging out there. And then there's probably about 5 or 6 or 7 of these little kids. And then it gets down to the last one versus me. And I was like, I can't even beat me. So then he starts running past me and playing ball rush. And I kind of dove to tackle him. But usually where I'd hit someone who's an adult and bring up their rugby would be their knees or thighs. So I smote him right in the kisser and broke his nose. All the aunties and uncles and everything. And I get up and he's crying and everyone's laughing. All the kids are laughing. The parents are screaming. And I was just in the grass just like, oh, my God. And I just, mate, it was, one of those days.
Jesus.
That is outrageous to see a full-grown man just snap an 8-year-old in half in the head.
I know.
So this is only 6 months ago, is that right?
Yeah, it was probably about November last year, end of the season, yeah.
Have you bounced back, or are you still basically the piece of shit in the family at the moment?
Oh, black sheep for sure. Yeah. Better to be, I reckon, yeah.
I like to, this is a bit of a throwback, guys. I like to think that you got up after you did that and just said, O'Doyle rules! That is such a great 12 hours of your life.
One of the better ones for sure, yeah.
He's going to kick your ass when he hits puberty.
Oh, I know.
He won't be forgetting.
Alex, mate, I do have to ask, do you still have the medal? Do you still have the bloody medal?
Yeah, I've still got it. I actually won the award 3 years in a row, so I got all three of them.
Well, that tackle probably proves why, mate. On the field.
Hey, thank you very much, Alex. I appreciate
All right, cheers, guys. All the best.
Legend.
Have a good one. That was amazing. Who was the former Rock employee that got extremely high on MDMA and while working at the warehouse, and then at Christmas time was so high, just couldn't really be bothered swiping a lady?
That was BZP, and that was me.
You gave the chick a whole trolley full of Christmas presents because you couldn't be fucked swiping them all. You're just like, just take it.
But it was one of those things. Like, do you remember BZP back in the day? Like, much it would kick your ass. I mean, thank God they got rid of them, but it would just. But I remember I took two in one night. I mean, you hear stories of people taking five and still surviving. I took two, but then the next day it's just absolute death. I had to be at work at like 9, and I hadn't even slept. And I was on the checkout, and it was just. You just go into autopilot mode, you know? I just grabbing something, just putting it across. It wasn't even beeping. It was
like 40 chocolate bars in it.
It was like two trolleys worth of gear, which would be around
same amount you had the night before.
Exactly.
$800 worth. it came to probably around about just over $200. And I just thought, I've got to work out what I have swiped and what I haven't swiped. And I just said, oh, fuck it. Trying to push it. And she's like, really? And I was like, look, I just Merry Christmas. She's like, oh, wow, thank you. And then they left and the alarms went off.
Like, not my problem. I'm going on a break.
Yeah. Yeah. I got beat.
And that really disheveled Santa just gave us all this for free.
He said Merry Christmas.
How terrible was that? BZP shit. I remember taking it one night and it was at the Rock to Wellington concert. It was the last night it was legal before it came illegal. Yeah. So they're selling them like 50 cent mixtures out of the BZP and party pill stores. And I took one called Purple Haze. And about 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm taking a piss in my mate's flat. And I'm looking at the, what are the ones around the bottom? Architray or whatever, down the bottom of the skirting.
Oh, yeah.
And while I'm taking a pee, I look at it. I was like, whoa. It's like bulging, like it's full of water and made of rubber. I was like, motherfucker. I was like shaking my head. And then I looked at the wallpaper and it was just full twisted. It was like 70s wallpaper.
Yeah.
And I was in full hallucination mode. Bloody horrific. Jim's going, that sounds fucking awesome. Yeah. I can see by the way you're nodding.
I never took shit like that, but
I'd like to throat punch the guy that invented BZP.
All that stuff was terrible. Chronic was terrible as well, if you ever had that. I remember being in a car up post a chronic thing, which you could get from like Cosmic Corners, all those drug stores.
You just got like wee joints of it, eh?
Yeah, and thinking the seatbelt was like engulfing me. So it kept getting tighter and tighter. So I'm out of breath. Help, help. And my taxi driver turns around and goes, "You okay, sir?" And he just leans over and unclicks my seatbelt.
Wow.
As I kind of come to, and I go, thank God. I just loved him so much.
I didn't envision you with a taxi driver. All right.
Jeez, that's horrific.
Let's get off the legal drug chat.
Yeah. Hmm.
Duncan Hyde. Hmm. You don't really seem like someone that fucks up a lot.
Oh, no.
I say this to all my guests.
I've been there, done that. Can we talk about the time that I was working at a chicken farm and I was catching chickens in high school?
By all means,
this is like so for those that don't know how you get chicken on your plate, there's massive sheds, and I'm talking 20 to 30,000 chickens inside the shed. So this would be the ones that they say the barn fed but not, I don't think you can call them free range, yeah. But they're barn fed, which means they're not caged, basically.
And this is in Christchurch, are they there?
Yeah. They start off small, obviously, they hatch them all, and then they chuck in the tiny little cute yellow chickens, and from start to finish, from yellow to size, like 12 or whatever, it goes up to like size 16 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like a 3-month process, so it's extremely fast compared to what it would happen in the, extremely fast compared to what it would happen in the wild because of the conditions they put them under. So they control the lighting, so they let them sleep when they want to let them sleep, and they're feeding and eating the majority of the time. So how it works is when they drink, the water, it makes them hungry, and the stuff that they eat makes them thirsty. So they're just in this like massive bulking for rhythm and vines the entire time. And so we've been working there about 6 months, and I was like, fuck, boys, we should grab one of the chickens at the end of the cycle and put it through for another one. So then we like decided, we had to try and figure out, because when you turn it on, it'd be blatantly obvious if there was one bigger chicken in there. So we had to try and figure out what size we could get. So we're like, we'll grow this, we'll see if we can grow a fucking monster chicken. we grabbed this chicken and we selected this one that looked really healthy. And we're like, we'll give him another burn through. And so that meant we then wouldn't be back in that shed for another 4 to 6 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember going back in after the 6 weeks, and all of us were like a kid in a fucking candy store waiting. Every morning we'd be like, oh, what shed are we in? What shed are we in? When the morning it came, we're like, yes, fucking jackpot. We went in there and what happens is you turn the lights off for like 5-10 minutes, and then you turn them on and it blinds the chickens, so you can just walk straight in and you can grab like 7 at once. You put them between each finger, 2 in between the thumb and the forefinger, and we looked in there, and down the back was this fucking enormous chicken like twice the size of a turkey, and we were like, oh my god, look at it, just losing our shit. And we're like, this is the greatest fucking thing we've ever done. We're like running, like, kicking other chickens out of the way as we're running towards monster chickens.
It's a moa.
And then we're like, oh no, it can't walk properly. What had happened is its legs grew funny because it was trying to fit in with all of the other smaller chickens.
Oh, it's 'cause it was trying to kneel down.
Yeah, it was trying to kneel down the whole time, so its legs grew a bit funny. So we're like, okay, what we're going to do with that one is we're going to send it down the back. That clearly needs processing. Enormous. Didn't fit in the chicken cages. And then it got down to the end and they were like, oh my god, that's like a size 32. Like the biggest chicken you get at the supermarket is like a size 17 or something. And it didn't even fit in all the gear down there. I think they just chopped the head off it.
Oh.
Second one we grew, because we're like, let's try and see if we can grow a healthy one. Yeah. So we put one in through for longer, and its legs were probably like the size of a 50% piece round, like thick. Mm. And it was like probably, what's that, 55, 60 centimeters tall? And,
yeah, barely.
Yep. And that one there, completely healthy. And that was successful.
So what did you do with it?
We sent it down the back as well, and then we got it cut up and sent to our places to eat, and it was the toughest fucking thing I've ever eaten in my life. Yeah, guys, that was my terrible story.
Actually,
not really. It was more of a good story, not a complete fuck-up story.
I was just thought you were going to say, like, and then,
I fucked it, mate.
There it is. Wow.
Oh, that makes me honestly feel a little bit sick.
Isn't it bizarre that you like, and when you look at all the chicken that's sitting on, you know, in every single supermarket, you go like, far out. That thing there was a yellow cute baby chicken 12 weeks ago. It's frightening what they're doing.
12 weeks?
Yeah, 12 weeks.
Holy shit.
So monster chicken would have been 18 weeks.
What's that, 4 months? No. What's it, 12?
3 months.
Yeah, 3 and a bit months, yeah.
Holy shit.
So that's the process behind it. God, that's interesting.
Yeah. I didn't eat any chicken off the bone for like 2.5 years after that. Nugget form, totally fine. Breast form, totally fine. But I just didn't want to know about it because it was just such a rank place to work. We got $12 a morning.
$12.
And we had to get up at like 4:30 or some shit. Probably the worst job I've had is working there. Like you'd walk in there and your nose would burn. We had to wear like masks and stuff because they were picking up all the dust.
See, somebody like me who's got bloody nose allergies and asthma, would I just...
You'd drop dead in about 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Or you'd need a dive tank and a breathing mask.
Yeah. Duncan Hyde, I have to ask you, after all these stories you've had, even though after the one you've shared for us, what have you learned?
I've learned that you shouldn't give animals drugs.
Yeah.
If hormones can fall under that. I don't reckon that's a good rule of thumb for life. Don't give animals drugs.
Actually, that's what I was just going back to. Sorry, that's the question I was supposed to ask. When you ate this chicken, did you feel like, oh God, I'm ingesting terrible hormones right now?
Yeah, it was just wrong. It was like, you know, the thickest, driest breast you've ever had? It was that times three. Like, it was almost like the breast was made of ropes. I've also learned that The only good highs are illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. You did right.
What a life lesson.
You did right. You're not wrong there.
And that's a risk if you're willing to take. That's a personal choice. You shouldn't be listening to a Fuck Up Files podcast and be like, that guy said I should try cocaine.
The chickens to me are perfect evidence as well that the steroid Olympics would work a treat.
Oh, shit, yes. Yeah. Who have I had that discussion with? The steroid Olympics.
I don't know. But you just have these 8-foot blokes doing the hundy in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Throwing all about that. Meters.
Do you know what weirdly else I'd be into? A modern day Coliseum where you had prisoners going out to fight, and if they're fighting for their freedom and it's to the death. That's where I think MMA will go one day.
Old school gladiator sort of stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That would rate its tits off. People would buy that.
Thank you very much, Duncan Hyde. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, it's been
for
a pleasure.
This episode of the Fuck Up Files. Again, thank you, producer Ryan, for pushing the buttons there. Do your little spiel there.
No
like
worries.
To do, mate.
Yeah, get it first on Rover. All the episodes are going to be there. And if you want to be on the show, Jim to 3520 and a story about how you've blown out.
And I am your regarded fuck up, Jim Cawthon. I'll be back again at some point. Again here on Rover, doo-doo-doo, and oh, fuck, I can never say goodbye properly on this stupid podcast.
Just say you're done and you're going home.
I'm done and I'm going home.
And you lead him on your radio show, Dunk, every afternoon.
Oh, in very small doses.
Are you supposed to cut it? See you next time.